Devotional Meditations on the Questions of Jesus. Ever heard someone say, "That's a good question"? As I read the questions of Jesus, I was constantly saying, "That's a good question, and it deserves an honest answer." I'm Don Harris. Join me now, and together we'll examine the questions of Jesus. Question 54. Why make ye this ado and weep? Mark 5:39. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." Professionalism makes all ministries into hypocrisy. There's a time when school teachers, doctors, men who worked in government, even lawyers, held their occupations because they felt a divine calling to do it, not for monetary reasons. Then there were no money motivations involved, just a desire to do what was right and fulfill a commission of God in service to their fellow man in need. In the little town in the story from which our verse comes, Jairus' daughter lay dead. At first, as one reads Jesus' comments, it looks as if he is insensitive and uncaring and perhaps even a fool. Why would anyone walk into a death room and ask, "Why make ye this ado and weep?"
Recently, Don finished putting his book On the Questions of Jesus in audio format. It's a real joy to hear Don share these insights from the questions of Jesus in the Gospels. It's not your normal audio book, and it's more than just a time of teaching. It's a personal sharing time that really takes you into a deeper understanding of the Messiah and the things that Jesus wants to share with us. Don, why don't you take a moment and talk about the recording of On the Questions of Jesus.
Thank you, Ted. I am excited about the audio version of this book, and almost everyone into whose hands I have placed this book are saying that they're excited about it too. Can I confess something to you? When I'm listening to this book on CD audio or MP3 on the computer, or when I pick it up and read a devotional, sometimes as I read it, I'm hearing it. It's seemingly for the first time. I am convinced that the early hour morning devotion, whence these devotional meditations came, were heavily anointed of the Lord. There's such power and insight in these questions of Jesus, and I'm embarrassed to say such a thing. If I weren't the author of this book, I could speak objectively about it and somehow convince you that you need to have this book or these CDs or the MP3 in your hands to use them in your daily devotions. These devotionals are approximately 10 minutes long. You can listen to them on the way to work, or listen to them at your lunch hour, or whenever you have time. But all of us, especially in these last days, need this time to get aside, to come aside for a while, and listen to the words of Christ. I encourage people, as they listen to a question of Jesus, that when that question is over, reach over and turn off the stereo and just spend some quiet time before your Messiah, before your Savior, before your Father, and consider your life in the light of his question. I'd love to hear from you, and I'd love to get the questions of Jesus in the book or the audio form into your hands and let it begin to do its work. We also offer combination sets of the book and the audio and the MP3 at substantial savings. So give us a call. Send me an email. I want to hear from you. Ted?
If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book entitled On the Questions of Jesus for $30, which includes shipping and handling. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867. That's 888-578-7867. Or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com. That's 888-578-7867, or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com.
At first, as one reads Jesus' comments, it looks as if he is insensitive and uncaring and perhaps even a fool. Why would anyone walk into a death room and ask, "Why make ye this ado and weep?" To find the answer to that puzzling behavior, we need to understand who Jesus addressed as he walked in. These were not truly grieved persons. They were professionals. They were hired mourners. But who would hire mourners? It's said that it was so shameful to have a funeral at which no one wept that folks were compensated to take time from their work to come and mourn at a funeral. It was just a part of the funeral expenses. As the idea became commonplace, the poor or indigent would show up at the house of sick and dying and mourn aloud at their death, hoping to receive some coin or gift. This hired weeping was apparently false and later was shown to be so by their actions. They were as willing and ready to lament as to laugh. They could switch from sobbing to snickering as though it was nothing. Without knowledge of this custom, we may wonder at the verse in Luke 8:53, "And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead." They switched to laughter easily because they were only pretending to grieve. True sorrow makes no room for humor. Rather, it despises it. These mercenary mourners were there for selfish reasons. There was no genuine care for the family of the dying. Think of how the truly mournful family must have felt to hear outside these falsetto cries going up at 1 minute and laughter breaking from the same crowd the next moment. How can they be so insensitive? Such behavior is effortless for those who make a ministry into a profession. When we bypass cause for effect, we're nothing short of hypocrites. When we want the benefits of a virtue without cost, we are no better than thieves. Jesus had no sympathy for hypocrisy. He knew exactly what was going on that day, which is why he felt no sorrow for the crying mob. They likely stood outside and waited to hear the news of this precious daughter's impending death. As the parents of the little girl pled to God for mercy and the recovery of their darling, the crowd, just outside the window, was waiting for those requests to go unanswered. Then, suddenly it happened. The life slipped from the girl, and a cry goes out from a mother destroyed by grief. The word is passed to the professional vultures circling outside the window, and their cries are added to the din. The crescendo was heard in the town, and beggars and thieves from all over come to feast on the sorrow of this saddened family, hiring themselves out as mourners. Jesus walked up on this crowd of avaricious actors and said, "You received bad information, folks. She's not dead." He said, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed at him. Of course, we know the rest of the story. The little girl is raised from the dead and restored to the family. However, from this story, we must learn that we all have a little of this hypocritical actor in us. There may be any number of cases that trigger this hypocrisy. Sometimes we give over to emotions because we're ashamed that we're not moved as everyone else is. There's also a drunkenness in sorrow into which we may escape. We may even voluntarily offer ourselves to grief to extract the benefit of remoteness or a departure from reality or responsibility. This is often mistaken for feeling sorry for oneself. We must honestly evaluate, why make we this ado and weep? Some are not as sad today as they were about things they experienced 5, 10, 20, or 50 years ago. Because we all naturally forget grief. It becomes a problem when we feel a bit guilty for forgetting. We mistakenly transpose our forgetting grief to forgetting the loved one we lost. This is not the case at all. We must look at our selective memory. The ability to lay aside grief and continue is a wonderful gift of God. Another motivation for sorrow is our condition of sinfulness. We may mentally apply our sorrow and grief to unforgiven sins to gain thereby some sort of absolution from being sad. This is usually evidenced by feeling as though one is being paid back or by questioning, "Why me, God?" Some will take time during the day to conjure up past grief and loss for this very purpose. The truth is, we feel no genuine sadness for our sin, and we latch on to sadness whenever it does occur, thereby, in our mind anyway, paying for our sin. This is the worst deception of all, because it replaces true forgiveness that comes from repentance, faith in Jesus Christ, and responsible living by His commands. Only by doing this can we make sure that our lives are clean and forgiven. Then we'll feel no need to manufacture grief or cultivate old sorrows to make ourselves feel normal, alive, or like everyone else. The problem is exacerbated when we expect others to keep this grief alive as well and mourn with us, thus separating friends and family for our twisted need of grief. The apocryphal book Sirach states this bit of wisdom: "Do not give yourself over to sorrow, and do not afflict yourself deliberately." Paul spoke of a godly sorrow, as opposed to an emotional one, that leads to repentance. This godly sorrow is what comes from heaven when we ask God to convict us and make us as we should be. Today, much is made of demonstrating grief and sorrow. We're told how it's necessary for mental health and well-being. But we, as Christians, should be aware of the spiritual implications of purposefully indulging in or manufacturing emotions. We know that acting, which is hypocrisy, or drunkenness, escape of any kind, is never good. We must seek for the real, the true, and the genuine. We must seek God both when a natural reaction is absent, when we feel no sorrow, or when our reaction is overreaction. Our emotions, or lack of them, can indicate our spiritual condition. We must be willing to be honest and upright and not succumb either way to pressure to be what we're not. We must trust God to make us what we should be. The absence of care and love for our fellow man is a sign of a deeper spiritual problem. On the other hand, purposely enhanced sorrow, feigned love, or pretended grief for our brethren only covers up problems like painkillers may mask cancer. You need to be very careful of how you manipulate your emotions, and be aware of the reasons you suppress or engage them. It would do you well to ask and answer, why do we make this ado and weep?
Ours is a quest to learn of our Messiah and His Father, Yehovah. Jesus asked questions of the people in the Bible stories to fulfill the will of God, and that was, as it remains with us, to bring the chosen ones closer to His Father. With this devotional, you can experience a daily exchange of thought with the Christ of the Bible. If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book entitled On the Questions of Jesus for $30, which includes shipping and handling. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867. That's 888-578-7867, or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com.
Thank you for joining us. This is Don Harris, inviting you to join us again next time as we examine the next in the series from the book On the Questions of Jesus.